Our scripture today is, we're going old school. We're going to be in the Old Testament. I'm going to encourage you to go to your Bibles, to Jeremiah 17. If you have your Bibles, your app, whatever it may be, turn to that. I'll be reading from the NRSV. But also, if you are one of those people who's like me, who would rather have the audiobook than the real book, you can just listen, or you can read along on the screens. We're going to be in Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 7 and 8. Just two short ones today. Hear the word of God. Blessed are those who trust in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. They shall be like a tree planted by water, sending out its roots by the stream. It shall not fear when heat comes, and its leaves shall stay green. In the year of drought, it is not anxious, and it does not cease to bear fruit. This is the word of God for the people of God. And together we say, thanks be to God. What a beautiful image, right? Have y'all ever seen a tree? Or a picture at least of a tree? It's planted by, I know it's one of the two. I mean, we got a couple around the building. But by still water, right? By water, by a river, right? Have you ever seen that tree? And it's just hanging on, it's just hanging out. And it's just like, man, that's the life, right? I remember, you ever have one of those fairy tale moments where you're just like, man, this is just surreal. It kind of feels like you're in a novel or something like that. I had one of those moments when I was a young adult. I went camping with some friends. I was 19, 20, something like that. So fully embracing my new freedom in life and trying to figure out things for myself. And that freedom came with me going to wherever I wanted, whenever I wanted. Amen? Amen. So me and my friends went to Garner State Park because we wanted to. And we went camping out, and we were unprepared and lacked a lot of supplies, but we had a good time. And one of those things that we did unprepared but fun is we just went hiking around the park, right? We just went hiking around the park. No hiking gear. We just kind of just walking around, walking by the river. And we came across this big oak tree. It was giant. It was huge. I mean, I'm talking at least probably 8 to 10 feet across, right? Just giant, just big tree. Beautiful. And it even did this thing where it made that cove, you know, like it was kind of like a U-shaped, and it was just like perfect for sitting. And the best part of it is, was like, this wasn't just a tree. It was right next to the river, but it was like part of the river where it's like the Babbling Brook, right? Like it's just very peaceful and calm. And there's all these like smooth stones, and even the smooth stones were just surrounding like the bed of this tree. And so it was even kind of comfortable because the stones kind of moved around when you sat, and we're like, this is the coolest thing ever. Like we just discovered this tree. I'm sure a lot of people had seen this tree, but like for us, like it was a new discovery. It was like so awesome. We're like, we're coming back. We gotta come back here at night, and we're gonna have a fire. Like we're pretending to rough it because we were really at a camp with electricity and stuff like that, right? But we're like, we're gonna come out here at night, and we're gonna light a fire and pretend like we know what we're doing. And so we come out that night, and we sit in this little alcove of this tree, just kind of in the comfort of it. There's not wind there, right? And it's just really peaceful. We lean up again. We have this little fire, and we're sitting on the stone, and then it's beautiful sky. There's not a lot of cities around or anything like light pollution. And so we're laying on the rocks, and we're just looking at the sky, and we're just like, wow, you know? It's like, I'll never forget that moment. That was one of the coolest moments ever. I was like, this, like I've read about this. Like I've read stories of people on adventures, like sitting by this beautiful tree, and so I got to experience it. It was so peaceful. It was kind of surreal. It was just good. All the angst of my young adulthood was gone, and I was just there in this grandness, in this safe place. That just was bigger than me, was older than me, was longer than me, right? That was so rooted, so firm, so real. I felt safe, even in the wilderness. But it's kind of a fantasy, right? Like, that's the thing. I could tell that story, and we all feel good, don't we? We feel good about that story. I feel good about that story. It makes me feel good. But like, how practical is that, right? Like, how often are we sitting at that tree? I remember it because it was rare, right? Like, I'm not at that tree every week. I'm not like, hey, this is my hangout. If you want to find me during the week, I'm at this tree, right? This is not a common experience. And so many times in life when we talk about being rooted, right? When we talk about being rooted in God, it sounds so good. It sounds so real, right? And even reading about it, it's so beautiful in our mind. But like, how practical is that, right? It's kind of a fantasy. Like, how often do we go through life feeling rooted, feeling grounded, feeling not anxious, protected, safe, right? How often do we just live life all the time in that way? It just seems unreasonable, unpractical. That's the challenge, isn't it? Anxiety, fear, right? We talked about strengthening last week, right? But really, like, in order to be strengthened in the last week, filled, right? Like, it takes more. There's just something there. And I don't know about you, but sometimes it's a fantasy doesn't feel like it gets me to that place. Jeremiah is a prophet. Let me tell you a little bit of something. He was having a hard time, right? This is a prophet. This is a story about delivering a hard word to a people who don't want to hear it. All right? The people of God who have stepped away from God's will, who have not taken care of those who are needy, those who are in need of help, those who are sick, those who are poor, right? The foreigner, the orphan, the widow. They've neglected them. They've gone and they've worshiped God when it's convenient, but they also got these other guys that kind of come do, like, they want to do that too. And so they're kind of like, I'm going to do that instead, I think, of the God of Israel. And so they're kind of just a giant mess, right? And Jeremiah's coming in. He's like, hey, that's going to end bad for you. God says, turn back. Stop it. Take care of those people. Do the things. Worship me. Follow me. Be my people. Be with me, right? Stop it. And so he's delivering this hard words, like, Babylon's going to come in. He's going to take you out. Like, this is not going to be good for you. The reason I like this passage is he kind of tells this story, right? This passage is right before this other moment where he's like, he kind of has like a real moment. Like, okay, here's like the fantasy moment. But then he has this like real moment afterwards. Like, God, vindicate me, dude. Like, they're saying I'm just full of lies. Like, you haven't done anything yet. Like, I'm kind of feeling a little uncomfortable. Like, come on, like, make it true. Like, make my words not be false. Like, right? Like, make it be real. He has a moment of doubt. And I think good for us to read these scriptures to understand that faith isn't about not struggling with doubt, right? It's not about not asking questions. But Jeremiah is saying, I know this to be true in you. Let me see it. I'm not seeing it. Let me see it. And he's struggling through that. He's wrestling with that. Not because we want to see judgment take place or bad things happen, but that we want to see God's will be done. Because even right then, right in the next chapter, God says, my will is not to hurt, to destroy, to tear down. I may have a plan to do this or a plan to do that, but a people who seek me to do my will, to be my people of justice, love, and compassion and care, to be that nation, to be that, I will change my mind, right? Like, he's like, it's like the prophecy has never been about prediction. It has always been about purpose. Hear that again. Prophecy has never been about prediction. It has always been about purpose. And what Jeremiah wants to see is God's purpose. And he's wrestling with that. But he doesn't stop living it. He goes out and he proclaims, take the Sabbath, be the people, do it. He gets right back out there and begins to continue to root himself in that purpose. Around the 1500s, there was a Spanish soldier, Ignatius, and Ignatius was, by all accounts, a very flamboyant, out there, boisterous man, young man. He had read the Knights of Camelot and all these stories about knights and all these chivalry fantasies since he was like 7 years old, right? And he had based his whole life. He's like, I'm going to be a knight. I'm going to be a soldier. I'm going to do this. And, you know, he wore, the accounts, it was weird, like it tells us, but it like tight pants and like, you know, like, and he's like walking around with a sword and dagger and he's got some nobility. So he's not really having any accounting. And so he's getting like accountability. So he's kind of going around things that, you know, typically would land you in jail, but he's getting away with it. He's being all boisterous and he's living that life and he's living free and he's kind of out there. He's doing that. And it's, I'm glad to know that millennials weren't the ones that invented skinny pants and war. So, right. But he's going out there and he's boisterous and he's picking a fight and quick tempered, but he begins to, he's set. He's going, he's going to get there. And he becomes pretty notable. He gets honors and accolades and assistant to the court and he's growing it. And then there's this surprise attack on the fort. He is a cannonball ricochets off a wall and hits him in the leg, shatters his leg. And I don't know if you know anything about 1500 medicine, but it is not Methodist Hospital downtown in current day. All right. He gets shattered. He goes back to his family home and he has all these procedures. And there's no numbing the pain. They're breaking and re-breaking his leg and setting it and doing surgeries and all without anesthetic. Like he's like, I mean, imagine I'm biting on something, right? And he's going through, what, by all accounts, especially by modern days, extreme trauma in this space. He's going through this, and he's sitting there, and he's recovering, and he's trying to recover, and he's trying to heal, and it's a long journey. And so what does he turn to? Well, he turns to the fantasy that he's always turned to. He's like, bring me, right, some books on chivalry. And the Knights of Camelot, and like some of these things, bring me these things. I want to read them. I'm bored. Yes, I'm going through trauma and stuff like this, but I'm also just sitting here, like recovering and whatever. Like, let me just find some peace somewhere. Let me escape somewhere. And so he's like, bring me these books. And the family comes home. It's like, we don't got any of those books. We got some books on Jesus and the saints, though. Here, read that. Now, I don't know if that's true or if they told him like they didn't have the books or if someone was just like, you need some Jesus, and they just gave him those books and said they didn't have. I don't know. You know, we don't know. I can't go back in time. But, right, he begins to read these books. And what he begins to see is he begins to realize that he begins to fantasize about being Jesus and the saints. He begins to think about what would it mean for me to be like the saints, to be like that? And so he begins to have this conflict in his mind and he begins to notice that when he kind of meditates on the soldier life and chivalry, he feels good. He feels energized at first, but then it kind of gives way to kind of dissatisfaction. Like it's never satisfying. But every time he meditated on the life of the saints or on Jesus, like he felt energized, but then also he kept feeling energized and life and joy. And so what happens is Ignatius keeps reading these stories, and after he's healed, he ends up surrendering the life that he once was pursuing. And in fact, he gives it all away, and he's like, I'm going to become meek. And he starts this long journey. What does it mean to meditate, both in embodiment, living it, like surrendering his wealth and begging for food? What does it mean to think about the life of Jesus and try to emulate that, to dwell on it, to think about myself with that, to meditate it, to root myself in it? And we see in Ignatius is a long journey, but all the way, the roots get deeper. It doesn't just come about up here. It then becomes about radical transformation in what I do here, And then it wrestles with questions, and he realizes that, you know what? And many times the way I try to please Jesus is how I was trying to please my commander, but it's not the same kind of pleasing, is it? Maybe it's about taking the blessedness of God and receiving it, that we might extend it. The world has a lot of fantasies, a lot of stories. But what we have in our scripture in Jeremiah is not a fantasy. It's not a story. It's something else. It's living and it's breathing. It's life-giving. Jeremiah dwells on this passage, this proverb, this nugget of wisdom about what does it mean to dig deep roots, because he understands that dwelling, that rooting ourselves in God is not about the circumstances that surround us, but it is that in which we live from. That which we dwell on is where we dig roots, grow roots. The life-giving water that we believe is in baptism is the life-giving water of the Spirit of the living God. That Spirit, that living God, is everywhere, always. Everywhere, always, in the desert land and in the forest, there are springs of living water in which we can dig and grow deep roots. Ignatius of Loyola would end up creating one of the most biggest parts of the Catholic Church, Order of the Catholic Church, the Jesuits, right? That value self-denial, going into the margins and taking care of those who are in need. To realize that the living water of God is with the orphan and the widow, the poor and the needy, in the desert places that the world says are not worth going. Not worth being. That in fact, no living water is there in the Spirit of God. And the testimony of Ignatius is one that tells us that it is never too late to grow roots. Where you dwell has nothing to do about where you've been. It's where you choose to be now. Who you choose to dwell on being here and in now, because grace abounds. It is never too late to grow those roots. God is ever inviting, ever nourishing, everywhere, always, in living water. We simply must dwell at the riverside. The longer we dwell, the deeper the roots. The deeper the roots, the more we pull on that in times of heat, desert, and dry, and realize that even in those spaces, abundance is at hand. Fruit may be bared. Pray with me. God, we thank you for today. We thank you, Lord, that you are not just a story. God, but that you are an ever-present, nourishing life. In your word, in the testimony of Jesus, in the testimony of those who have come before us, we see in them your nurturing presence. Empower us, Lord, to be bold enough, faithful enough to trust that if we dwell in you, you will speak words of justice. That if we dwell in you, you will speak words of love. That if we dwell in you, you will speak words of compassion. Lord, that if we dwell in you, we might find life abundant in all seasons. Lord, we give our lives to you. We surrender in this time of worship, that we might be filled, that our roots might grow just a little deeper in that living water. Be with us in this space. It's in your precious and holy name we pray. Amen.